Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is our second lesson in studying about spiritual gifts, of which we read in the New Testament. And we closed our last lesson talking about some of these gifts. And one of the gifts, the spiritual gifts, the miraculous abilities that were granted to some, was the interpretation of tongues. And that was the ability to translate from one language to another. In fact, tongue speaking was prohibited without one who could interpret. And this is further evidence that the tongues of the New Testament, they were not this babble. They were intelligent, understandable languages. Now, in the King James Version, we read about what is called unknown tongues, and the word unknown is a supplied word to indicate that they were not normally learned by the speaker. It doesn't mean that nobody could understand them. And even though there were diversities of gifts, friend, they all came by and through the same Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. They were all closely connected with the spreading of the Word of God to convince the hearer that what they were hearing was indeed God's Word. You see, for ages, God's revelation had been a mystery. It had been unrevealed, not mysterious, but unrevealed. But now was revealed to the apostles and prophets, Ephesians chapter 3. And for a time his holy message was embodied in inspired men, but now it's embodied in the inspired scripture, 2 Timothy 3. And the word has been proved. It's been verified. It's the way that God said that it would be done. Now, to whom did Christ and the Lord give these abilities? Well, the miraculous ability was given to the apostles when they went out to preach in what is called the limited commission, that is, when they preached to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, confirming the message of the coming of the kingdom. But the apostles were baptized of the Holy Spirit on the first Pentecost after his ascension, and they were able to do signs and wonders and miracles, which all could behold, and which they did. I think I said in my last lesson that the passage was in Matthew chapter 28. It's in Mark chapter 16 that where they went out and confirmed the word by the miraculous deeds that they did. And they were able to give this power to others by the laying on of the apostles' hands, as they did in Samaria, and as Paul did to some in Ephesus, Acts chapter 19. Well, this was the power, you may recall, that Simon, the former sorcerer, wished to buy. And Peter said, no, you don't have any part in that. Those upon whom the apostles laid their hands, they were able to perform miracles, but they were not able to grant that power to perform miracles to others. The spread of the power to grant the gifts stopped with the apostles. And this is made quite evident when we read about Philip, who went to work miracles there in Samaria. But he could not grant such power to others. But the apostles who later came to Samaria, they could and they did. And Paul said he wished to visit Rome to impart unto you some spiritual gift, Romans 1:11. And he was an apostle. He had that power. Paul granted such power to some in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. But now since the apostles are all dead, and all upon whom they laid their hands are all dead, we know that the miraculous age is past. And friend, the word has been confirmed. The purpose of the miracles was to confirm the word. Hebrews 2, 3, and 4, we repeat again, tells us the word was confirmed, and how? It was by these miraculous deeds. Those who claim miracles today, they don't do what was done in New Testament times. And for what purpose would they do them? What new truth would they reveal? The truth had been fully revealed unto mankind. Peter said they had all things pertained to life and godliness. And those who claim these miraculous powers, isn't it strange that they don't even teach the same thing? They claim the Holy Spirit is guiding them. And this one will claim the Holy Spirit told him to say this, and this will say the Holy Spirit claimed it, the Holy Spirit told me to teach this, and they don't even teach the same thing. I'm made to wonder, does the Holy Spirit confirm contradictory doctrines? Does the Holy Spirit not know what he's confirming? Does he confirm just any message that man might come up with? You remember, friend, that where there is the claim of miracle workers, where goes the claim must go the demonstration. And they don't do what was done in New Testament days. They don't demonstrate the power. They don't have any reason to do it, because the miraculous power that was given in the New Testament was given to confirm the word. That was the purpose of the spiritual gifts. Keep that in mind. That's a bedrock truth. And that word has been confirmed. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we read when and how these gifts could and should not be used. And among the restrictions, friend, listen to this, that women were to keep silent in the assemblies when the tongues were spoken. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That's quite different from the modern-day tongue-speaking sessions of which we read today. Well, sometimes those who participate the most are the women. But this is not what the Bible says is to be done. Tongue speakers were not to speak at the same time. And that showed they had control over what to speak. Sometimes tongue speakers say, oh, I can't control it. The Holy Spirit is guiding me to speak in this fashion. That's not so. The Holy Spirit did not take away the control to speak, and they were not forced into some kind of explosion beyond their power to control, like some claim today. You see, people don't listen to the Bible. They don't pay any attention to the Bible and what the Bible says about these things. And not everyone had a miraculous gift, and not everyone had more than one gift. Now, the Apostle Paul said that he had more than all the others, but he was an apostle. And it's very important that we understand that these gifts ceased, and we can know that they have ceased, and the purpose of them has ceased. As already mentioned, all who performed the miraculous have died, and they were to last until that which is perfect is come. 1 Corinthians 13. And that doesn't mean until that who is perfect is come again, referring to Christ. The revelation of God's will was given in parts, Paul said, in portions. And when that which is perfect, that which is whole, that which is complete, that which is lacking nothing is fully revealed, Paul says, these gifts would cease. And that came in the days of the apostles, because the apostle Paul preached the whole counsel of God, Acts 20 and verse 27. Peter said they had received all things that pertain to life and godliness, 1 Peter 1, 3. Jude says the faith had been once for all delivered unto the saints, Jude verse 3. Now Christ had promised the apostles the Holy Spirit would guide them into all the truth, bring to their remembrance what he had taught them. Now what part did he leave out? What part of all truth is omitted? Did the apostles preach all truth? Christ said they would. Why, we believe that the promise that the Lord gave to the apostles was carried out. The Ephesians said that they would continue, these gifts would, until we all come in the unity of the faith. It doesn't say until we all believe alike. Some of these modern perversions put that in there in order to try to preserve tongue speaking. But till we come to the unity, the fullness, the wholeness, the completeness of the revelation of the faith of Jesus Christ. They were to last until the full truth was revealed. And James speaks of the perfect or complete law of liberty. It has been revealed, James 1:25. Now some frantically looking for some kind of excuse to pretend to work the miraculous tell us that if the miracles had ceased, then that would limit the power of God. Friend, that's nonsensical. and let me prove that to you. The power of God is not the issue here. What the issue is, what does God say and what did God do? You know, God once created human beings from the dust. Does he do that today? No, he doesn't. Does that limit the power of God? Certainly not. God could do that if he saw fit, but God hadn't seen fit to do it that way. We read about how he once fed Israel with manna from heaven. Does he feed anybody with manna from heaven like that today? Why, certainly not. Well, when we say he does not, does that limit the power of God? Certainly not. He still feeds people in his miraculous way. Not in a miraculous way, but in his providential way, according to the laws of nature which he himself established. And that doesn't say that limits the power of God. And should you ever be asked, do you believe in miracles? Well, you know the answer is both yes and no, depending upon what you're asking. We believe every miracle recorded in the Bible because the infallible Word of God has revealed it with testimony and evidence. We do not believe the miracles being done today, and both answers stem from the same source, from the Bible. The Bible teaches the miracles of the Bible, and the Bible teaches the end of these spiritual gifts with the confirmation of the Word. Now, friend, the plan of salvation, it does exist. It exists because of the miraculous, the coming of Christ to this earth, his virgin birth, his perfect life, the miracles he performed, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise to return. All of that is God's plan for saving man. But these miracles are not essential for man to believe and obey in order to be saved. These miracles gave us the plan of God to save us. The miracles served as incidental purposes, such as getting the one who had the message of truth into the presence of the one who needed to hear the truth. That's what happened in the book of Acts, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, one after the other. But these miracles were not a part of the plan to save people then, nor to save people now. Salvation results, friend, when we hear the Word of God, when we believe the Word of God, when we obey the gospel, the Word of God. The commandments of God must be obeyed. Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him. It's amazing how people can read the commands and the conditions of salvation that God has revealed in the Bible, and they take it upon themselves to declare these things are optional, or they dismiss them altogether. And I'll tell you why. It's because it doesn't harmonize with their creed, with their denominational dogma, with the doctrines of theologians. We need to listen to what the Word of God has to say if we're going to be saved. And spiritual gifts, friend, they were confined to the early days of the early church, and they were used to confirm the word that we're to believe and obey. And if we don't believe and obey that word, how can we claim the blessings of God? Indeed, we need to simply humble ourselves to do what the Lord says. Believe in Christ, the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins, and then all will be well with our soul. That was the purpose, to bring that ability through the spiritual gifts. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.